15. It's good to see all of these young people back here in the back. And yes, that includes Brother and Mrs. Phillips. They're back there in the young group, but I appreciate that. What Kamani is challenging my brain. He knows how hard it is for me to get names down, and so he brought a whole crowd and says, we're going to test him out, see if he can remember any names, and I'm going to fail miserably, but we are glad you're here. You know, God wants to change our lives. God does not want to leave us in our sin. God does not want to leave us and just say, well, I went to church and nothing happened. You're here to get something from the Word of God that will help you, that will change you, that will make you into, if you're not a Christian, that can help you become a Christian. If you are a Christian, help you be a better Christian. We represent the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it wants to change us. And boy, living for God is great. And walking with God is great. And having a godly family with a start of a godly foundation is great. And boy, if we could grasp a hold of how much better it is than that old wicked world. That world has nothing. Sin is a destroyer. But God's word is good. Luke 15, 1 through 6. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now let me ask you something. How many persons are there in the world that are just and need no repentance? Zero. Now, how many think they're just and need no repentance? Probably plenty. Okay, but there's a difference. And you know what? Jesus Christ is saying there's a focus, and I want to preach a message, and I trust that God will help me to preach this. The focus, the goal here is a church has groups of people to work with. And as a church, we're working with, we've got the sheep in the fold. Those are the members of the church that come regularly, and we're working with them, trying to help them through the Word of God to be godly and good sheep. Then you've got the saved sheep who are backslidden. You've got some sheep that are, they're saved. They've trusted Christ as Savior, but they're no longer with us. And, you know, to some, that takes over the story of the prodigal son and the father's waiting for them to come back. But, boy, you can still pray for them. You can still, if you see them, encourage them to come back. But you got in this world plenty of backslidden sheep. And then you've got the lost sheep. And those are the ones that are not in the fold. Those are the ones that do not know Jesus Christ as Savior. And they need to get saved. They need to come through the door into the sheepfold. And by the grace of God, I'm titling this today, Sheep and Fish, Sheep and Fish, because we'll see that kind of at the end. We need to go fishing for the lost sheep. But we need God's help to have the balance of all of this. We can be a church that focuses solely on the flock, or some churches focus solely on the fish or the lost sheep. But boy, we need the balance. We got to get every part of it. Let's pray and let's see what the Word of God has to say today. Father, I ask that you would help me. Lord, I need your help to preach. God, we need your help to hear the message that you have for us today. I pray that we have come today ready to hear, ready to be changed, ready to be affected for you. God, take your word. Father, there's a good possibility that there may be people here today, they're not saved. And Father, if they died, they'd go to hell. And I pray that you would work in their hearts to bring them to salvation. And then, Father, those that are saved, God, help us. We still need you every day. And God, help us to see that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start by dealing with the lost sheep. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and 7. We live in a world, you can be turning there, we live in a world where people generally think that they're pretty good. So many times we'll talk to people and say, hey, you know, if you were to die, would you go to heaven? Oh, I think so. Well, why do you think so? Well, I'm a pretty good person. You are not good enough to go to heaven. Your merit of what you have earned is, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. We have all earned a sin penalty, and the penalty for sin is death and hell. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 and 7, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. You know, I was born with a sin nature, and it didn't take me very long for that sin nature to kick in, and I started sinning. And then it didn't take me very long to get to the point where I began to realize there's a difference between right and wrong, and I would choose to sin on purpose. Just a little kid choosing to sin on purpose, choosing to obey or disobey. But as a very little child, you may not have a comprehension of what all of that means, but eventually you come to the point and you realize, I'm a sinner. I have done wickedly against God. I have broken his commandments. I have not loved the Lord my God with all my heart and mind and soul. And we go through life and there's so many sins that we have committed. They are innumerable. We can't even begin to calculate them. The Bible says we've all gone astray. You're here today, you're a sinner. And if you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. That's what God thinks of sin. God, sin is not just, God doesn't really care how I live. Yes, he does. God hates sin. And just because society accepts sin, God still hates sin. And the punishment for sin being hell shows us just how much God hates sin. We can't emphasize it enough how wicked it is to sin against a thrice holy God. To go out into this world and start to do the things that this world does, and we just start living like the world. God hates sin. So there are lost sheep. You know the beauty of this? In verse 7, it describes Jesus Christ as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. You know, Jesus Christ came, and when John the Baptist introduced him, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, you're the sheep that went astray, but Jesus Christ was the lamb that hung on the cross in your place. Jesus Christ was the sheep that stood there. He could have declared, look, I am 100% innocent. He could have called angels to set him free, but Jesus Christ went as the lamb and he was slain for your sin. Jesus Christ died on that cross to pay for your sin. And that is important for us to realize and important for us to understand. He paid, he died for you because you're a sinner. All we like sheep are gone astray, but he was the one that paid the price. In Luke chapter 15 that we read, a shepherd goes seeking after lost sheep. You know, Jesus Christ wants every single human being in the world to trust him as Savior. Now, he gives them a free will. He gives them a free choice, but he goes out seeking them. He says the Son of Man came to seek and save them that were what? Lost. Lost. You know, don't you love to talk to good people? Yeah, that's great. But you know what? How many of you enjoy talking with sinners? Well, I hope that you do, because you all are them. We're all sinners. But we need to be out seeking for lost sheep. telling them that there's an answer, telling them that there is a way, that there is a path for them to become a found sheep. And you know, I love the fact in this little parable that Jesus gives, he goes out seeking that lost sheep and he does all the work. He carries that sheep back. Jesus Christ did the work. It is not a matter of if I could become good enough, I could get saved. Jesus Christ paid your sin penalty. He wants to save you, and he did all the work. You just have to believe on him. You just have to let him pick you up out of the miry clay and set your feet upon the rock. Jesus Christ is after lost sheep, and lost sheep need to be sought after. We can walk by people day in and day out and not give one thought to their soul, their eternal soul. We can walk past people and think, boy, our world's becoming wicked. Our world's becoming sinful. Look at that person. Look at that person. Look at that person. You know what? People need to be saved. And if they'll get saved, God will change their life. God will clean them up. And then we can look and say, that's not a dirty old rotten sheep anymore. That is a cleaned up sheep, cleaned up by the blood of Jesus Christ. And then John chapter 10, verse 6 through 17. John chapter 10, verse 6 through 17. The Bible says this, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door." Now look at this verse. "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not before to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeing the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. But I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep have I which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." See, eventually, you get all these folds are going to be together in heaven. There will be one fold and one shepherd. "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again." Jesus Christ here is giving the gospel. He is saying, "I am the great shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I'm going to lay down my life for the sheep, and I am going to raise again." The death, burial, and resurrection is seen right here. But he says, there are people trying to get into my fold that are not going to make it because they're trying to go over the wall. They're not coming through the door. Jesus says, "I am the door of the sheep." And he says this, "I am the door. By me, if any man shall enter in, he shall be saved." You know what? There is no church that is the door to the sheepfold. There is no church that saves people. You go to a church and they say, "I can save you." No, they can't. Jesus is the Savior. A person cannot get there. You know what? You cannot be good enough to get into that fold. "Well, I'm trying real hard to get into that fold." Stop trying and trust Jesus. Stop trying and cry out to Jesus Christ, because you need mercy on your soul. And Jesus Christ is ready to give you mercy, but you have to cry out to Jesus Christ for salvation. You cry out to him. You go through him to get into the fold. People say, "Well, if I can just be good enough, or if I go to church enough, I can get into that fold." No, you can't. Going to church doesn't get you in the fold. "Well, if I give something to missions so that the gospel can go around the world, I'll get into the fold." No, you won't. You go into the fold simply by realizing you're a sinner that doesn't deserve to be in the fold, but you realize Jesus Christ died for you, and you understanding, I want to be in the fold, but I can't get in there. I can't be good enough. I can't do enough. There's nothing I can do. I need to go through Jesus Christ. Jesus, would you please save me and allow me to be a sheep in your fold? And a person realizing I'm a sinner on my way to hell, they call out to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ says, okay, if you'll come through me, welcome into my fold, and you can be saved. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made. We look at it and it's like, I am glad I was a lost sheep. I am glad Jesus found me. I didn't find Jesus. Jesus found me. And, you know, if you're here and you're saved, somebody gave you the gospel. Jesus Christ was looking for you. And if you're here and you're not saved, you say, I'm a lost sheep. If I were to die today, I would go to hell. Say, I'm a lost sheep. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus died for you. Jesus is seeking you right now. Jesus is saying, hey, will you come to me? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He that cometh to the Father, he will in no wise cast out. Oh, there's so much need for sheep to come. This morning, I want to ask you, and I want you to think real hard right now, are you a lost sheep or are you a found sheep? Are you saved or are you lost? Are you in the fold of Jesus Christ or are you outside the fold? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or hell? Where are you, the lost sheep? Secondly, we see those that Jesus refers to, the scripture refers to as my sheep. My sheep, John 10, verse 26 through 31. Let's go to verse 25 to begin with. Jesus answered them, he's talking to the Pharisees, I told you and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's, out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Boy, they did not like the fact that he looked at them and told them, you're lost sheep. We're religious. We're better than most of these people here. I don't care how good you think you are. In the eyes of God, you're a sinner that needs to be saved. And so Jesus says, he says, there are those that are lost sheep, and then there are those that are saved sheep, those that are my sheep, those that I have given eternal life to. Let me ask you today, do you have eternal life? Boy, if you were to die today, Mrs. Gray went to heaven today, about 8:15 this morning. She was one of Jesus' sheep. Sometime in her life, she was lost, and she came. She asked Jesus Christ to be her Savior, and she went to heaven this morning to be with her Lord Jesus. Now, that's very special for her. He says, I give unto them eternal life. See, if you're one of Jesus' sheep, you will physically die in the sense you will leave this body, but you will never die. There's the difference between eternal death in hell and eternal life in heaven. Notice some things here. Jesus' sheep hear his voice. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Let me ask you this morning, does Jesus know you? Well, I know Jesus. No, that's not the important question. Does Jesus know you? Does Jesus know you? See, it doesn't matter what we know. It matters, does Jesus know you? See, Jesus' sheep recognize the word of God. He said, my sheep hear my voice. They recognize his voice. Do you recognize the need for the word of God in your life? You ever see somebody that says, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, and they have no desire for God's word? They don't want to read it. They don't want to come to church and hear it. They don't care anything about it. You look at it and say, you're telling me that you're one of his sheep, but God says, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep recognize my voice. But do you, as a Christian, if you're one of his sheep, boy, you ought to love this book. Now, again, we can get into backslidden sheep, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But boy, Jesus' sheep, they look at the word of God and say, what does Jesus say? What does Jesus want to tell me? How does Jesus want me to live? I have a shepherd. He died for me. He's the greatest shepherd ever. Jesus Christ is my shepherd. He gave his life for me. He died for me. What does Jesus have to say? Did you get in the book this morning and say, what does Jesus have to say to me this morning? You're here today in church. Are you listening, saying, what does Jesus have to say to me this morning in church? Jesus has something to say. He's my shepherd. He gave his life for me. He allowed me into the fold. He gave me eternal life. I was condemned to hell. Jesus saved me. I want to hear what he has to say. See, I have a real problem when someone says, oh, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'm saved. Well, do you love the book? Now, do you have to love the book to be saved? No, not saying that. But you can tell, do you love the shepherd that gave his life for you? Do you live for the shepherd that gave his life for you? Well, he has a lot of commandments. Yeah. And every one of them will help your life. They are not commandments meant to stifle you. They are commandments meant to enhance your life. And if you'll follow God, your life will be better. Secondly, so Jesus' sheep hear his voice. They recognize the word of God. Jesus' sheep follow him. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Jesus comes along, and he says, hey, Jaden, follow me. Hey, Jacob, follow me. Anders, Hannah, follow me. And Jesus goes down through and he says, look, I know you. What's your name? I need to know you. Abby, follow me. Right? How about you? What's your name? I can't hear him. But hey, follow me. You know what? But you know what? Jesus knows every one of his sheep by name. He never forgets anybody's name. I can forget people's names. Jesus knows every one of them. And he says, follow me. And he says, you know what? My sheep, one of the characteristics of his sheep is they do follow him. When Jesus speaks, they say, yeah, what do you want me to do? And it's with anticipation. How do you want me to grow? How do you want me to change? What do I need to change? I don't want to be this world's sheep anymore. You saved me out of this world. You put me in the fold. How do you want me to live? And we ought to be asking Jesus every single day, Jesus, what do you have to say for me? Jesus, what do you have for your voice? What are you going to tell me today? And we hear this and we listen and we say, I want to know what Jesus has for me. Jesus' sheep need to be fed and given an example. 1 Peter chapter 5. Jesus' sheep need to be fed and given an example. Verse 1 through 3, it says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. You know, Jesus has a flock, and you all are here. You're the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're saved. And Jesus says, you know what? They need to be fed. We don't want starving sheep around here. Boy, what do you feed them on? Well, you give them the good bacon and eggs and steak and potatoes of the Word of God. And you feed them. And you know what? We have mealtime Sunday school. We have mealtime on Sunday morning at 11. We have mealtime on Sunday evening at 6:30. We have mealtime on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. And I hope that you're getting some snacks every day on your own from this book. And Jesus' sheep, they need to be fed and they need an example to follow. And obviously Jesus is the best example. But as we grow in Christ, we are also giving people an example. You know what? I want to be an example for others of the flock. Don't you? Do you want to bring people closer to Jesus, or do you want to be the stumbling block that people are falling over on their way to try to live for Jesus? You need to consider. You're part of the flock. You know, flocks occasionally get bad sheep, don't they? Are all sheep well-behaved? Of course not. But we can be a member of the flock that's an example and a help to others, or we can be the one that if people are trying to get to Jesus, they're falling over because we're worldly, hanging on to those sins of the world, hanging on to the wickedness of the world. Oh, that we would follow His voice. Jesus' sheep need to be protected. Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Through 30. It says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you," what? "All the counsel of God." Now here's the thing. Let me just point something out. We are declaring the counsel of God in Sunday school. Sunday morning at 11. Sunday evening at 6:30. Wednesday evening at 7. We also have some institute classes that some of our people attend on Sunday afternoon from 3 to 5. And Monday evening from 6:30 to 8:30. You know what? We're a church that declares the counsel of the Word of God. The question is, are you here to hear it? And you know what? Some of you, I want to be fair here. Some of you don't drive at night. Okay, I get that. Age, health, there's lots of factors there. But I want to say, I understand different situations and scenarios. But as best we can, we all ought to be here for every service. You're a member of this church. You ought to be here for the services. Now I understand people have health conditions. People have tragedies. Things happen, and we get that. But on a regular basis, what are we here for? To get the Word of God. All the counsel of the Word of God. Well, we are a church that is focused on this book. Because I believe it's this book that has the answers. It's this book that changes people. You know, you'll recognize I'm not a preacher that tells a lot of jokes. I'm not a preacher that tells a lot of stories. Occasionally I think of a story that connects and we use it. Boy, it's this. It's the Word of God that changes. And so he says, "I've declared unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." He's talking about the flock. Jesus died. He purchased the flock with his own blood. He says, feed them. Feed them. Wednesday nights right now, we're feeding the book of Esther, and I am loving it. I'm like, who was Haman? Well, I know who Haman was. No, you don't. If you were here Wednesday night, maybe you do. But I'll tell you, the Bible is so good. There's so much in there. Sunday nights, we're looking at the book of Jude. Well, we need that in our day and age, for sure. Feed. They need to be fed. He says this, "For I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." Boy, there is weird doctrine out there. I got a letter this week. I shared it with Brother Shaw. There are doctrines out there I have never heard of. And why they wrote me the letter, I don't have any idea. Apparently they saw something somewhere and thought they needed to correct me. Look, I have a Bible. The Bible's true. And, I mean, it was weird. I mean, you got the 1290 days of Revelation. Well, it started with Augustine and ended with this Quaker. And nobody should be baptizing anybody anymore. I mean, it was weird. You know what? There's a lot of false doctrine out there, and we need to protect people from false doctrine. How do you do that? First of all, we preach the truth. Second of all, we call out false doctrine when we see it arise. And we let people know, we have to do this. There's more false doctrine. And part of it's being spread because YouTube's out there. And anybody can get a platform and spread their own false doctrine. Boy, we are, let me go to here, fishing for lost sheep. Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1. Matthew 4:19 and Mark 1. You listen fast, I'll preach fast. Okay? Matthew 4:19. Says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and what? Follow me. So if we're one of Jesus' sheep, it then follows that we're going to follow him. And if we're following Jesus, is he going to make us fishers of men? That's what he said. Look at it in Mark chapter 1, verse 17 and 18. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. So Jesus looks at these disciples and he says, if you'll follow me, if you'll come after me, I will make you to become. Are we naturally fishers for men? Not really. How many of you find it sometimes a little difficult to talk to someone about the Lord and to witness to them? Sometimes it's a little difficult, isn't it? You don't know what they're going to say. But you know what? If we're following Jesus, we'll become a fisher of men. We'll automatically, it'll be in us that desire to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ because we're following him and we're in love with the good shepherd that gave us salvation and we're excited about the fact that, hey, there's a lost sheep that could come into the fold. Jesus wants to make us fishers of men. So there are sheep that are in the fold. There are backslidden sheep, saved people not living for the Lord. And there are sheep that are lost. And those sheep, we could also call them fish. So we've got fish and we've got sheep. And every church, we need the balance. Boy, we do a lot to help the sheep. Jesus said, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. He says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Is it harder to live for Jesus today than it was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago? I say yes, because of our society. If we are his sheep, should we still follow Jesus? Even when the world doesn't, we should still follow Jesus. We have to balance this. We have to be evangelistic in our efforts. We as the sheep need to be out there fishing for lost sheep. And it can be difficult. But if we never go fishing, and there's multiple ways of fishing. Sometimes you do a mass distribution of something and you're throwing out a big net, hoping in that big net to catch a fish or two. Sometimes you're individually fishing and you've got a pole and you've got some bait on the end of it and you're focusing in on an individual, trying to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ, trying to present Jesus Christ specifically as they need to hear it with God's help. And we need to be involved in all of that. We don't just cast nets and we don't just fish with poles. It's fishing. You try it all. 2 Timothy chapter 2 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is all wrapped up, interestingly enough, in 2 Timothy, in the book of 2 Timothy. Some of you are saying, Pastor, you fed me enough today. I'm ready to go feed my own body. Look, we're here for the Word of God. I'm not going to take long, but 2 Timothy 2, 1 and 2 says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to" who? "Faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." This is a work within the church. This is called what we refer to as in-church ministries. In-church ministries, where you've got mature people, people that have grown in their Christian faith, people that are good examples to other, and they're participating within the church to help new sheep grow in the Lord, to become better sheep. Anybody arrived, you're a perfect sheep? I don't think so. So this is one thing. 2 Timothy 2, 24 through 26. 24 through 26. "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patience, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will." Sometimes there are sheep, and they're out there in the snare of the devil. Save people, but backslidden. Save people that know what to do, know what's right, but they're out there and they're snared, they're caught up in a sin, and they need to quit that sin and they need to get out of that snare. Now, can you force a person to quit sinning? Can't do it. It says, the Bible says, these people oppose themselves. They're their own worst enemy. It says the devil has a snare out there, and about the time they want to get victory in their life, the devil pulls the chain and drags them back again. What can you do with them? You try to help them in meekness. What does in meekness mean? That means in the process of helping them, you don't allow yourself to get hurt and get out of sorts. Because isn't it easy? You try to help someone, they stab you in the back, and it's just like, okay, forget it. No, they're a sheep that needs help. They need God's instruction. And we try to help. And those backslidden sheep need to come back to the Lord and do what's right. And then 2 Timothy 4, 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist." And here is your outreach ministry. So you've got working with the faithful, your in-church ministries. You've got working with the backslidden. This is people who used to be in church. Or people, maybe they're still attending, but they're just not living right. And you try to encourage them, hey, come on, come on. Why live under the defeat of the devil when you can have victory in Jesus? And then 2 Timothy 4, 5, you got work to bring the gospel to lost people. These are outreach ministries. Bus routes where you go out and pick up people and bring them in. Just invitation, where you go out and invite people to come and hear the preaching of the Word of God. One-on-one evangelism, where you're talking specifically to an individual, trying to win them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Door knocking, where you're going out and you don't know who's behind that door, but you know there's somebody behind that door that needs Jesus. And so you'll knock on that door, and if nobody's home, you put a gospel track in that door. If they are home, you give them a gospel track. You try to witness to them. You've got all of these things going on. And a good church has to have a good balance of all of these things. We don't want to neglect the sheep just trying to fish for the lost. We don't want to make the church worldly in order to try to get more fish in. The church is the fold, and my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then you've got the lost sheep that are out there. They need to be brought to Jesus Christ. And there has to be evangelism. A church without evangelism is going to die. And people that do not get involved in trying to tell other people about Jesus Christ, their heart gets hardened toward the lost. And if your heart gets hardened toward the lost, your heart gets hardened toward the Lord Himself. We need to be witnessing. We need to be giving the gospel. People need the Word of God. And so we have all of this. And I want you just ask God today, what did the Holy Spirit of God, what did the Word of God speak to you about today? You, don't worry about your neighbor. Don't worry about your friends that came with you. What did God speak to you about? Are you a lost sheep? Are you a backslidden sheep? Or are you a sheep that is hearing and following Jesus Christ? Where are you at? Maybe you're in between the backslidden and the follower. Maybe you've been backslidden and you're heading upward. Or maybe you've been up here and you're actually starting to head backward. You assess where you're at today. If you're here and you're lost, Jesus wants to save you, and He can save you today. And it is not just let me pray a prayer so I can go to heaven when I die. He'll change your life. We want conversions. You look at it and you say, I'm a sinner on my way to hell. I don't want to stay in that sin anymore. Come to Jesus, and He'll save you. Then don't go back to the old sin again. Do you need to be saved today? Are you living for the Lord? Are you in the book? Do you hear the book? Do you know the book? Do you know what the book even says? You know, I'm afraid there's a lot of sheep in this world right now. They're living in sin and they don't even know it, because they haven't been in a book enough to know what Jesus wants them to do. Let's stand to our feet. We need God's help. God has something for you today. His head bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask a couple questions before we have the invitation. Is there anybody here that says, I'm a lost sheep? I'm not saved. If I were to die, I'd go to hell. Anybody? Okay. Do you want to stay lost or do you want to come to Jesus? If you want to come to Jesus, as soon as that piano plays, you come on. We'll tell you how you can be saved. You can come into God's fold. You can live for Him. Anybody else? I'm a lost sheep. I need to be saved. If God's convicting you today, boy, don't put it off. You get saved. Anybody say, you know what? I'm a sheep and I know I'm a sheep, but everything's not as it ought to be. I've been backslidden, and I need to get some things right. Anybody can raise their hand to that today? Okay? Yeah, several. Okay. And then every one of us, I'm a sheep, I'm trying to be faithful. How about, God spoke to my heart, I need to be fishing for lost sheep. I'm not doing a very good job at that. Yeah. Father, we ask that You would help us. God, we're here this morning for You. God, we need You. And I pray that this message would help our church today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, if God spoke to your heart, you have something to come and pray about, I'd encourage you to come. Talk to the Lord. Do you want to be saved today? Would you come? If you're backslidden today, do you want to come talk to the Lord? Ask Him to help you. Well, can you imagine what could happen in our church if we could get the order of all this well balanced? What could happen if every one of us decided to go fishing this week? I'm not talking about the kind of fishing where you sit in a boat and skip church. I'm talking about going after a soul. You raised your hand today and said, I'm a lost sheep. I'm on my way to hell. If I died, I'd go to hell. Are you guaranteed you're going to live another day? So I'll take care of it later. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Well, our world is full of worldly sheep. We need God. Churches across this country are becoming full of Sunday go to morning, Sunday go to meeting Christians. Come for one service a week. Not talking about those that aren't able. I'm not talking about those that are sick. I'm not talking about shut-ins. But people that could and ought to be here. May God help us and change our lives. Father, we are grateful for your word. Father, I pray that you would help us. Lord, there's a lot of need here this morning. Every one of us need to follow you more closely. God, I pray that you would help us with that. Continue to speak to hearts. Continue to convict those that are lost of their need to be saved. I pray that you would help us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Get to know our visitors today and encourage them to come back. Come back tonight. We're in the book of Jude tonight, and just a great truth that we're going to look at tonight from his words.